and welcome to the Human Condition podcast on Resilience Radio. We hear and read a lot today about mindfulness, how good it is for us. If only we could do it, life could be so much better. But I must say, whenever I've heard or read about it, it always seems to me a bit out there. Until now, I'm Lee Hatcher, and I'm in conversation with Ruth Fordyce, a registered psychologist at the Resilience Centre. She's come up with the best definition of mindfulness, how to do it, and how it helps that I've ever come across. So, what is it?
Great question. So, mindfulness is a pretty broad area.
Yes.
Lots of definitions out there, but I'll talk about what some of the core areas are that really make up mindfulness. Firstly, mindfulness is about paying attention. And that's really significant, I think, in our current day and age where we are mindless a lot of the time. If you think about the experience of driving somewhere and realising I wasn't quite thinking about where and how I was actually driving, I just got home without really thinking about it. Through to the experience that a lot of people have of maybe getting on your phone and finding yourself mindlessly scrolling through Facebook.
Lots of that.
And often people will talk about, you know, having experiences at work where they're tuning out of a meeting, maybe being with a loved one in conversation and realising I'm tuning out and not really realising what the person was saying in that last sentence. So mindfulness is a practice of really tuning in and paying attention to what is actually in front of us.
That's a great description, actually.
Secondly, and related to that, mindfulness helps us to really be in our present moment. A lot of people spend a lot of time in their head thinking about things that are other to the present moment. Mm. So a lot of the clients that we work with here at the Resilience Centre, if they're struggling with something like anxiety, they'll find that their mind is often pulling them into the past, going over and over things that have happened and analysing and questioning and doubting, or they'll be thinking a lot into the future about what's to come, how am I going to handle that, you know, having worries and fears about that. But that's true for the average person too.
Yes.
We can spend a lot of time in our head thinking about what's coming next.
It's kind of understandable though.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the nature of our busy lives and it's something that we need to do. But we can find that we're actually missing out on being in the present moment, which is actually the moment that we can control. That's the moment that we can do something about, the moment that we have right in front of us. So, you know, forward thinking and planning or learning from the past, they're all really valuable. But we also actually need to be tuned into the present moment in front of us if we want to take helpful action. So mindfulness helps us to pay attention and to be present. And the other element that I think is really important about mindfulness that sometimes people might not be as aware of is that mindfulness is about trying to pay attention and be present with a non-judgmental sort of stance.
About yourself or about others?
Great question.
Or both.
Both, yeah. Mindfulness is about trying to accept what is. What is it that's in front of me? What is it that I'm experiencing in this moment? What is it that life has brought to me today? And letting go of a lot of the judgments that we make in our head constantly about, I don't like this, this shouldn't be happening to me, this isn't fair, I wanted it to be like this and not that, I'm not doing this well enough, I'm not a good enough person. You know, a lot of this plays out in our mind as we experience our day-to-day moments. And the practice of mindfulness encourages us to try and embrace what is in front of us without telling quite as many of those stories in our heads about why it's bad or why it's not working for us. So Lee's already shaking his head at me going, wow, this is profound.
I think it is. I've heard, as I've said in the intro, I've heard a lot about mindfulness.
Mm.
And I'm not just saying that because you're here, but I've never heard such a really practical description of what it is.
Mm. So if I were to sort of summarise, I think, you know, mindfulness is about sitting with what is and really attuning to that, being aware, paying attention to what's going on, rather than getting really caught up in the world of what I want, what's next, how things should be. It's taking that moment to really sit and pay attention to what is, what's going on right in front of me.
Good stuff. I've heard mindfulness described in the same arena as meditation. Is that accurate?
That's a great question. Yeah. So mindfulness, I would say, is somewhat of an overall approach to life or a philosophy, a way of looking at things. And it can be practiced in a lot of little ways in our everyday sorts of activities. Meditation is more of a concentrated and deliberate sort of practice.
Okay.
So a way to illustrate that for people might be to think about exercise. You know, if you want to become a fitter person, you can embrace, you know, exercise and just general activity in your everyday. And that's a great thing to do. So you've probably heard those little examples of take the stairs rather than the escalator, or, you know, park a little bit further away from where you work. And
which I always do.
You know, yeah, get that little walk in. You know, choose active sorts of things to do on the weekend. They're all great things to do that increases our activity, that helps contribute to fitness. But if you really want to increase your fitness, a deliberate, concentrated form of exercise is also what you need to add in.
Hmm.
You need to actually spend some time really lifting the heart rate, or, you know, building some muscles. Putting that deliberate practice in is going to really change your fitness levels, and actually will then flow into those everyday activities as well.
Yes.
Then it's easier to take the stairs.
Yes, yes.
You know, I find myself wanting to be active on the weekends.
It's become part of my DNA. Yes.
Yeah, because I'm a more fit and active person. So for me, the relationship between mindfulness and meditation is quite similar to that. That mindfulness is something that I can bring to my everyday, but meditation is something that's a more deliberate, set aside time. It will have a little bit more of an intensity to it, and it helps actually contribute to then being able to be a more mindful, present sort of person in my other everyday activities.
Let's get practical. How can I start, in a way, practicing mindfulness then?
Yeah. So what I might do is talk about both of those sort of aspects about how might we sort of embrace a bit of mindfulness in our everyday, and then also what does meditation look like? What does that mean?
Yes.
So a really simple example of just being a more mindful person is thinking about tuning into our senses a little bit more to experience the present moment. So if I just give a really practical example of that, I can remember once being on holidays. I love going and holidaying near the beach.
Me too.
Love being, you know, near the ocean.
Sea air.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Drink it in.
But I remember there'd been, you know, quite a bit of stuff going on for me at work and in my personal life. And so one day I was going for a walk on the beach and, you know, beautiful spot. But I was walking along the beach thinking about a bunch of stuff that was going on. And I sort of got to, you know, the end of the beach and thought, I've really just walked the whole length of this beach, but I wasn't really there.
Yes.
You know, I could have been anywhere and thinking about all of that stuff, but I wanted to actually savour where I was and being in that moment. So I turned around and walked, you know, back the other way, back to where we were staying, the other length of the beach. And I thought, I'm going to do this return walk a little bit differently. And I just really stopped and looked at what I could see. Really simple things that you can do, like really looking at the intensity of different colours that you can see, just sort of naming and observing the things that you see. And again, without judgment, you know, I don't have to name that, well, that bit's beautiful, but that bit's ugly. You know, that's bringing in judgment. But just being aware, what is it that I can see? Or what I can smell.
Yes, yes.
What I can taste.
Yep.
When you're at the beach,
the sea.
You know, that you can taste
salty.
A bit of that salt in the air. What I can hear. And that's something that people can do in their everyday, in little moments. I work quite a bit with mums who have, you know, recently had children and, you know, adjusting to that whole life. And sometimes I talk with mums about just ways that they can weave in a little bit of mindfulness into their everyday, because they don't have a lot of time, time to sit around and meditate.
Few of us
but,
do these days.
That's true. That's true. But for example, something that a lot of mums do, if they've had a baby, they'll be washing their hands numerous times a day. You know, changing nappies and feeding and all that sort of stuff. And so washing our hands, that's something we can do in a hurry as we move on to the next activity. Or we can take 30 seconds to be mindful, to think about the sensation of that water on my hands. I like to adjust it to just the right warmth that I like, you know, that nice feeling of warm water on your hands, you know, just the right temperature. You know, taking that time to wash your hands with, not in a rush, you know, just with a little bit of gentleness and a little bit of care for yourself, taking that moment, that could take 30 seconds, you know, but you're just being attuned and present to yourself in that moment by using your senses.
Which gets me to my next question about, okay, so how is that helpful? So I recognise there's one step in saying, yeah, I can appreciate that, I can feel it, I can be in the moment, but what's helpful about that for me?
The idea of mindfulness is to help us be a little bit more in the present. And certainly a lot of people find that they're missing out on what's available to them in the moment because they're always thinking ahead to the next thing.
Because they can be good moments.
Yes, that's right. So it can increase our enjoyment and our satisfaction of what's actually available to us that's positive and pleasant.
Yes.
But also there's a real power in being open and allowing the things that we might deem as less pleasant too. Being able to sit with those things and be present to those things as well.
What's helpful about that?
Well, a lot of people are experiencing, you know, painful or stressful moments in their life and not actually giving it the attention it deserves.
Okay.
So actually allowing the emotion to come and working it through and then being able to treat themselves with kindness in that moment. Now, I want to put a bit of a proviso on that, that for some people sitting with their emotions and their difficult experiences is hard work. And
yes.
Particularly people who have maybe experienced trauma in their life or, you know, really have some significant mental health symptoms that they're experiencing. In those cases, I would always encourage them to get support and help from a professional if they want to learn how to sit with those painful and difficult emotions a little bit more, because that's not something we want to do alone. If that's going to cause us a lot of distress and, you know, possibly even revisit some of the trauma that people have experienced. But for a lot of people, just in their everyday experience, learning to just be present with what their experience is enables them to savour and enjoy what is valuable, but also to be able to cope with the parts that are difficult by being aware of it. And then being able to be practicing a little bit more kindness or gentleness with them, with themselves. And that's something that I've learned a little bit more about recently that I've found really, really helpful is the idea that we need to learn how to be a little bit more compassionate with ourselves. Most of us are incredibly kind to somebody else that we love when we notice them having a painful experience or emotion. We're usually much less skilled at giving ourselves that sort of kindness and compassion. We sometimes want to just brush over the moments of pain or discomfort or difficulty that arise in our day. We might want to deny those things or push them down or even judge them and say, oh, that's stupid. Why would I think that? Or that's so silly to feel that way. When we would never dream of saying that to somebody else that we love, you know,
no.
We'd probably acknowledge for them, hey, that sounds like that was really hard for you. And we might do something kind like, you know, offer them a hug or a cup of tea or just a moment sitting in the sun and being there for them.
Are we doing that more, do you think? Being tough on ourselves, tougher and tougher?
I'm not sure if it's something that's necessarily increased over time, but it's certainly something I think that is prevalent with a lot of the people that I work with and a lot of people that I speak to, possibly because we compare ourselves a lot. The world of social media has probably exacerbated that,
yeah.
That we look and think that everybody else has got it together and has got a great life, and so we've been pretty tough on ourselves.
You're listening to the Human Condition podcast. I'm in conversation with Ruth Fordyce on mindfulness, even meditation. The interesting thing is there's really good data on how good all this is for us.
There is a really incredible amount of research now showing the effects on the brain over the long term as
wow.
People practice meditation. So definitely we see an increase in the ability to focus, an increase in calmness and the ability to regulate emotions. So in the brain, we have parts of our brain like the amygdala, which are responsible for our emotions, our emotional reactions to things. And then we have the higher level parts of our brain, the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for the more organized, planned type of thinking. And that the prefrontal cortex has a really important role in helping us regulate or control our emotional responses. And so what we see in people who meditate is a strengthening of that part of the brain.
Wow.
So an ability to
wow.
actually manage our emotions much better. And not only in the moment, so when I find myself suddenly getting upset or stressed or angry about something, in that moment being able to regulate that, bring that response down and find a place of calmness more quickly.
How amazing.
Yeah, but also just overall in life, if I come back to what we were talking about before, that sort of non-judgmental stance,
yeah.
The more that we practice meditation, the more we practice just being accepting of what is in our present moment, the more we see that translating to just that overall approach to life of just being a little bit more at peace, being a little bit more accepting that life brings us lots of joys and lots of sorrows and lots of challenges, and that that's actually okay, and that we now have those inner resources to navigate that. So that's something to be mindful of, that people, you know, they might be looking for an instant effect, but actually a lot of the effects are what we see over time as people practice.
As with exercise.
Yes, that's right. A really good place to start is learning how to meditate using your breath as a focus. So where I've sort of talked about mindfulness is woven through those everyday moments of life, I think to meditate, you really do need to take a little bit of time aside.
Yes.
Usually by yourself, usually in a bit of a quiet space. And you don't necessarily have to, you know, close your eyes and lie down and all that sort of thing. But generally just getting a little bit comfortable and getting into your own space is helpful. And meditations that get us to focus on the breath will just ask you to pay attention and notice your breathing and notice the sensations of breathing in and out and use that as a bit of a focus point. And what most people will find is that their mind will skip off and start thinking about other things.
Yes.
And the idea is just to gently bring your focus back to the breath, breathing in, breathing out and noticing the sensations. That's a really simple place to start because we're always breathing.
Yes.
The breath is always there, available to us, and it's often one of those things that's mindless.
Is there a step beyond that, just listening to my breath?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And this is where you can go in all sorts of directions with meditation. And what I would encourage, if people are listening and they're wanting to give this a bit of a go, most people find that it's much easier to do guided meditation. So what that means is actually having an audio that you listen to. And so a couple of examples of that, and we can list these on our website so that people can access these resources. There's a really great program called Smiling Mind, which is a website, but there's an app that's associated with that that's Australian-based free resource. Headspace is another one that a lot of people have heard of, which is an American-based one, but also you can one that you can subscribe to that has an associated app. And so they're really great resources to, you know, put on your phone or listen to through your computer, and there's guided audio to help people have a focus point. And so there might be exercises there to meditate on what's happening in your physical body, or it might be tuning into the sounds around you, or it might be a particular theme or topic that you're meditating on. And so that gives people a focus point. Personally, I find it very hard to meditate in silence because my mind wanders off too much.
I'm with you, Ruth.
So having something to listen to is really helpful. A couple of other practical questions.
Yeah.
People sometimes ask, when should I be meditating?
Good question.
When is the best time? The best time of day to meditate is whenever you are most likely to actually do it.
And find that space, which is a challenge today.
It is. Yes. It is. And I will happily admit to anyone, I am not a morning person. So I am not going to be giving people any of that advice that says, get up and do it first thing in the morning and then the rest of your day will feel so much better. You know,
just give me a coffee. That's all.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'd rather start the day with. Yeah. So for me, it's more something that I would fit in the evening. That suits me better. So I would encourage people to think about a time in their day that would actually work for them. The question that goes along with that, though, is how long do I need to meditate for? Mm. And the good news is that there's a lot of research indicating that even 10 minutes a day is really helpful. So if people want to try and develop a longer practice, that's great. Go for it. But for most of us, you know, 10 minutes a day is probably more achievable.
Yeah, totally.
And I think for me, you know, I find myself thinking, I can't spend 10 minutes a day on my own mental health and well-being, but I can spend often many hours on being productive and doing things for other people, then something's a bit of out of balance there.
Yeah,
you know.
It's a good
so
point.
When you realise 10 minutes, okay, that's not that long. For some people, that would be achievable to sit in the car before they drive home from work, you know, and just spend a few minutes listening to something that helps them relax before they then drive home from work.
Great stuff. Let me get back to mindfulness. I reckon there are probably people who've tried the practice of mindfulness who'll say, tried it, didn't work.
Mm.
What would you say to them?
Yes, that I get that feedback from a lot of my clients.
Yeah,
so I gave it a go and I just hated it. It was really difficult. I don't get it. You know, it's not for me. So firstly, I would want to explore with that person what results were they expecting and how soon were they expecting to get those results. So for some people, practicing meditation or mindfulness is quite calming straight away. You know, they find, oh, wow, that was really helpful focusing on my breathing. But that's not always the case. In fact, a lot of people find it difficult. A lot of people will find that their mind was just racing off. So, you know, they might, okay, focus on the breath. breathing in, breathing out.
What's for dinner?
Oh, it's Margaret's birthday tomorrow. Yeah. I better remember to call her. You know, those thoughts that just pop into your mind.
Yeah.
Now, in that moment, you know, you can find yourself thinking, oh, I'm doing this wrong. You know, I'm hopeless at this. I can't do it. But actually, that's demonstrating, firstly, why you need to practice this skill.
Good point.
Because your mind is racing. It's doing what it does. You've got an active brain.
Good point.
And you're practicing a skill that actually is going to help address that issue. But it's not going to come straight away. And I would compare it to the analogy of exercise. If I want to get fit and I'm not very fit, if I go off to the gym and start trying to lift some weights, it's probably not going to be pleasant and enjoyable right from the get-go.
No.
And, you know, in that moment, if I were to say to myself, oh, this isn't working for me, actually it is. Like the fact that it's difficult for me to lift that weight and possibly even a little bit painful, you know, the muscle, that's telling me I'm working something that I want to grow.
Persist.
So, yeah, I would encourage people that firstly don't expect that it's going to be, you know, some sort of zen-like, calming, pleasant experience straight away. You know, it may be challenging, but that is the whole point. And also that a lot of the results from mindfulness and meditation actually come over time. So there's a lot of really good research about this, that if people persist and they develop a bit of a practice with this, that actually we're changing and exercising our brains. One more thing to say for those who struggle a bit with this idea of meditation and mindfulness and think, oh, this isn't for me, this isn't going to work for me. I'd really love to point them to someone who is worth having a look at. There's a fellow by the name of Dan Harris who is going to be of interest to you, Lee, as a man who has a background in journalism. For those who don't know, Lee used to read the news on air, Sky News. Dan Harris is a news anchor in the United States.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and he's actually written some books on this area of meditation. He became interested in this area because of his own experience. So he had been a war correspondent, you know, reporting in places like Afghanistan, come back to the United States and really not in a great place, you know, mentally and emotionally. And Lee, would you believe what triggered him to go and get help was he actually had a panic attack on air. He was reading the news.
My goodness.
Can you imagine? How confronting.
I'll leave this podcast and look it up on YouTube because
absolutely,
it's probably there.
Absolutely.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
And he was someone who was extremely skeptical about meditation.
Good journo.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah, skeptical. And so he's written a wonderful book called Meditation for Fidgety Skeptics. Great title.
Yeah, I know. It's got me in.
That's right. That's right. So I think, you know, he's a really great example. Perhaps if there's someone listening who's thinking, look, I'm a really driven person. I'm about my career. I don't think this is going to be for me. I don't like the idea of sitting quietly and being with my thoughts and my feelings. You know, he'd be a great person to go and look up as someone who has been convinced by the science and convinced by his own experience of, you know, burnout and stress, that meditation is something that can be helpful for all people.
If no one looks him up, I will.
Yes, great.
Can we finish by perhaps a real-life example, maybe one from you, maybe from someone you know, where this has actually and practically, helpfully, been put to work, Ruth?
Yeah, so I would describe probably a couple of students that I've worked with recently. I work a lot with, you know, high school students or university students, and one of the challenges for a lot of those students is that, you know, we're working away into the night on, you know, the schoolwork or the university assignments that need to be done and then having a lot of trouble with trying to get to sleep. So a lot of people who are experiencing stress or anxiety might be able to relate to that, you know, that idea of then you're trying to get into bed and you haven't unwound at all and the brain is going, thinking and stressing about, you know, perhaps the next day. And so for those sorts of students, often what they've found is that by bringing in a mindfulness meditation practice when they stop their study for the night, it can really help just make a break for the brain and begin that unwinding sort of process. So helping that person transition to then being able to get to sleep, it sort of draws a bit of a line in the sand and says, okay, I've done my work for the day and now I actually need to be present, you know, back in my body and tuning into the fact that I now need sleep. I need to look after myself. I've done what I can do as far as the work goes and now I need to actually unwind. Just helping them to be able to focus on the body and focus on the breath sometimes helps make that break from study mode into rest mode.
We have another great podcast with Sarah Piper on sleep.
Yes, which, yeah, some of this crosses over, which is great.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. There are lots of other conversations and great resources on the Resilience Centre website, www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.